watching where the girls are looking at. They were always watching where the boys are looking at. So they couldn't freely look at each other. But when Lord Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill, they could freely stare at Lord Krishna unrestrictedly. So, yes. Yes. Lord Krishna is so merciful. Srimati Radharani blessed this month personally. And she is the one who, if during the Kartik, would contemplate in his heart the mood, the attitude of Dasa Dasa Nudasa, and would chant the holy name of the Lord with in the attitude of Trinadapi Sunichina, then Srimati Radharani herself, she would approach Lord Krishna and would plead him, please accept this devotee. He is better than me. Srimati Radharani would speak about such a devotee. So this is the meditation for this month, for every sincere Vaishnava devotee. And I believe this is the community of most sincere Vaishnavas throughout the three worlds. Srinuramanareti dham ke. Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Today we are continuing the most nectarian place of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Madhya Leela chapter 8. And this chapter is named under Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. And so it happened that actually we're reading the most nectarian essential part of this talk, of this discussion between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this shloka today, which we are chanting, is from Bhagavad Gita. And we may read the purport, which is relevant to our subject today, from Bhagavad Gita, because there is no purport to this shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ye yattamam prapadyante. Ye yattamam prapadyante. Tamstateva bhajamyaham. Tamstateva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartante. Mama vartmanu vartante. Manushya partha sarvasha. Manushya partha sarvasha. Yeyatamam prapadyante. Tamstateva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartante. Manushya parta sarvasha. please. Ladies. Word. Ye, they, yata, as, mam, unto me, prapadyante, surrender, tan, unto them, tata eva, in the same proportion, bhajami, bestow my favor, aham, I, mama, my, vartma, why, anuvartante, follow, manushyaha, men, partha, my dear Arjuna, sarvashaha, in all respects. Translation of His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. According to Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, where he says that all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly, and everyone follows my path in all respects. O son of Varta, ye yatamam prapadyante tam sateva bhajami aham mama vartmanu vartante manushya parta sarvashaha. The devotees, if you don't mind, we will read the purport from Bhagavad Gita for the shloka, okay? So, this shloka was recited by Sri Ramananda Roy in connection to, as we may remember and know, to the question of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Lord, to Ramananda Roy, what is the ultimate goal of life? So actually this most essential question in the life of any human being must be raised. We see that Maharaj Parikshit, he asked the question, Shukadeva Goswami. He asked the question, Shukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a man who is going to die? And who is not going to die? You are or you are not, you will. This statistics is 100%. Nobody can avoid, nobody can escape death. Nobody can bring one blink of an eye back. It's gone, it's history. Time is the most powerful energy of the Lord in this material world. So be better is to be an adequate conscious being and admit that something should be done. It's a very humble microphone, it always bows down lower and lower and lower. We have to take lessons from it. It's very humble. It's So that means he takes a good example from the old assembled devotees. So, Shukadeva Goswami asked this question. We see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He provokes Ramananda Roy to speak about the most essential subject in the life of any human being. What is the ultimate goal? And Ramananda Roy starts giving explanations. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu provokes him. Okay, that's external. Speak more. Speak further. Speak deeper. Go on. Go on. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he provokes Ramananda Roy. Disclose the truth. Disclose the absolute truth. Give us the nectar. Give us the essence. So those type of dealings we can follow throughout the different examples of Vaishnavas throughout this universe. As we may know from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sri Narada Muni, he took a task, travel all over the universe to find out the devotee of Lord Krishna, who is the most blessed one. The most blessed devotee. He was traveling throughout the universe, approaching Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, everyone just praising them, and all of them just objecting him. No, I am an offender. I am not the most blessed. I am the most offender. So we see that to seek for the most valuable association of a Vaishnava is the most valuable thing in the life of a devotee. We have to appreciate that. Because, as you heard, I was advertised as the one who joined ISKCON in 1979. But, what we were joining then, there were no temples. There were no books. We didn't have philosophy. There were no books. There were no association, no gatherings. The KGB would interfere immediately. There were no gatherings. Even the devotees' homes, apartments were searched by KGBs, and all the pictures, if you have at home, even on the wall, taken away and confiscated. You couldn't have a picture on the wall of Krishna. The official position was, it's atheism, no God. Just yesterday we spent the night in one hotel near the Manning city here, in South Carolina. So the Indian devotee who is in charge life member of that hotel, he said that when he was a child, now he's a 72-year-old devotee, but when he was a child, he remember in India, Russian Prime Minister was coming to India, and it was, and he claimed officially in India, while on his official visit to India, to Prime Minister of India that time, whatever that may be, 60 years ago, that there is no God. Prime Minister of Russia coming to India and claiming, there is no God, what are you doing here? So we joined ISKCON when, you know, the ISKCON was virtual ISKCON. There was no books, no gurus, no temples, no kirtan, no association, nothing. What I had just beads and maha mantra. But, I had no idea what is maha mantra. For a few years I was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, having no idea what I am chanting. That Krishna is God, I had no idea that this is the holy name of the Lord. I had no idea. Ram? Who is Ram? What is Ram? Not who is Ram. I had no idea. What is Krishna? What is Ram? Later on, when in 1982, I bought Bhagavad Gita printed underground, illegal copy, which was not in the book shape, it was in roll shape. It was printed sheets, not a book, it was just printed sheets. And I gave my half of a salary to buy a roll of printed sheets, which was called Bhagavad Gita. And when I read only then, I was getting an idea, who is Krishna? But nonetheless, for me, it's a proof that Krishna's name is absolute. Even not knowing what I was chanting still, I was enjoying chanting. Devotees, they knew that I am interested in yoga, and they said, here is the beads, here is the Maha Mantra, chant for 2 hours a day. I said, it's impossible. 2 hours a day of meditation, I can't hold my mind for 2 minutes. 2 hours. What are you talking? They said, this is topmost yoga. Try and you'll see. And I'm trying up till today. And trying and trying and trying and trying. And enjoying more and more and more and more. So Lord Chaitanya, he's immediately, when he saw Ramananda Roy, he immediately became attracted to him. And it is a wonderful shloka here. It is written there, which is 17th shloka, that although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after Ramananda Roy mentally, he patiently remained sitting, waiting until Ramananda Roy will take a notice of sannyasi sitting there. So only because this is eternal leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, meeting his eternal associates. And in the 23rd shloka, Srila Prabhupada gives a wonderful purport, saying that Sri Ramananda Roy was an incarnation of Gopi Ishakar. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Lord Krishna himself, and there was naturally an awakening of love between Vishakha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So Gopi Vishakha is the principal Gopi assisting Srimati Radharani. And Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced, since their natural love was also awakened. So it's the same thing when we preach Krishna consciousness. And when we preach through the chanting of the holy name. And from my experience, I can say, even if there are no other ingredients of devotional service, no books, no philosophy, no temples, no deities, no association even, if there is a sincere desire in the heart, even by chanting of the holy name of the Lord in the form of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, still we make progress. Of course, maybe it's not so fast because you may not be conscious of what you are chanting. But still, if you keep on, if you go on, and we see that actually the chanting of the holy name of the Lord does wonders even in such an atheistic country as Russia. Yes, we see that Soviet Union collapsed. We see that every day back in 1980s, we were doing Harinam in Moscow. And every day the police was taking us to the police station. And every day we are back again next day on the Harinam. Again we were took by police. Again next day we are on Harinam. Again they took us to police. Again we are on Harinam. Again. And it's endless. They got sick of us. They couldn't do nothing about us. Usually what was the practice? They kick you from your job place, from your university study place or whatever. But we were all already then jobless. There was nowhere else to kick from. We were already kicked on to the street, and that's why we were taking advantage of. Going every day and chanting. And that was already Gorbachev times, so they couldn't put us into prison anymore. Ultimately, they said, okay, here is the building, call it the temple, get there, sit there, and don't go outside. Guess what? We were doing Harinams. So, because this is the shelter of the holy name. Holy name is the best austerity, chanting of the holy name is the best sacrifice, is the best knowledge, it's the best activity. What Ramananda Roy goes through different stages of devotional service and comes up to the what we read today. Yes? How Lord Krishna feels indebted to gopis and feels unable to repay the debt to them because their love for him is unalloyed, continuous, permanent, eternal. And the chanting and of the Krishna's name is big part of that service gopis perform. Even when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy met and they embraced each other, they were chanting both Krishna, 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 Krishna. So this is one reality in Vaishnava's life. The holy name of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord. And all of us have deeper, more or less, a deeper realization of that. Everything is around the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So, in purport to the Bhagavad Gita's 4.11 shloka, Srila Prabhupada says, everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestations, some consciously, some unconsciously. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma-jyotira effulgence. And as well, and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus everyone and anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have Krishna. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as the Supreme Master, another devotee as his personal friend, another devotee as his son, and still another as his lover. So this is also the levels through which Ramananda Roy was disclosing the most confidential relationship with Lord Krishna, speaking to Lord Chaitanya when he was telling, okay, go on, speak more, go on. So Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees both here and in the transcendental abode associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. So this is it. It's not that Lord Krishna wants our austerity, sacrifices, renunciation. He reciprocates in the most sweet possible and impossible way. It's like same thing. You may eat something, you may try to eat something very tasty. There are a few ways of doing that. One thing, you swallow and you miss the point of tasting it. You just swallow. And because the food is not chewed, it's kind of almost practically not digested. It just rots in your belly and then you get rid of it. But if you chew it, you relish it. You relish it. you relish it. In material world, there is nothing to relish, nothing to chew. It is said, chewing the chewed, it's tasteless. And still you try. It's like this example with the sugar cane, which already squeezed juices off, and this fiber is thrown away. Then the cow comes, picks it up, and chews it. What is there? It's almost nothing. Still, it chews, tries to squeeze something from it, then spits away. Then another cow comes and picks it up and continues the same process. So this is material existence. No taste. And still everyone tries to squeeze something. So it's like a camel chewing the thorns. Thinks, oh, what a juicy thorn. Although he drinks his own blood, pierced tongue with the thorn, he thinks, what a juicy thorn is that? What a stupid camel is that? So this is a conditioned soul. But chewing the transcendental subject matter, huh? We can read Bhagavad Gita again and again and again. We can repeat same shloka again and again and again. In the morning I saw when Vaishnava was reading through the shlokas. It's never, you never lose the taste. It's never boring. If you are in full consciousness, and this is the point, consciousness. It's not that bodily we perform same activity. No. Same activity performed even bodily with proper consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, dives you deeper, deeper, deeper into the taste of reciprocation with Lord Krishna. So as for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal, blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, who are not firm situated even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. Why? They never developed a loving relationship with the Lord. They never developed a loving relationship amongst themselves, sadhu sangha. Yes. When you, when Vaishnavas gather together and they chant in kirtan, you can't find such a unity in this material world. Everyone is God-pointed, God-centered, Krishna-centered. Everyone. You will never find anywhere in this world such a unity, such a cooperation. Is what gives the Srila Prabhupada a most pleasure. Cooperation. This is what he said just before leaving this world. Your love will be tested how you can cooperate amongst themselves. What it means? It means that those devotees already fought their egos down. What impedes the cooperation? False ego, for sure. It's obvious. It's so simple. So that means that a devotee every day is in the war against his ego. Otherwise, he can't cooperate, he can't chant together. He's impersonal, if he's not a Vaishnava. If he's with Vaishnavas, if he's together, if he's in kirtan, if he is in community, this is the quality. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results for their prescribed duties as the Yageshwar. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone. Yes, this is Vaishnava attitude. Feel dependence on the Lord's mercy. Not that by my own endeavor. Not that by performance of 100 Ashwamedha Yagyas. Not by chanting 64 or how many rounds by my own endeavor. You will never reach anything. Only by the mercy. This is the key. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, akama sarva kama vo, akama sarva kama va, moksha kama udaradhi, kivrena bhakti yogina, yajita purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of fruit of results, or is after liberation, one should, with all efforts, try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Dear Vaishnava devotees, maybe you have some comment, some questions or some objections.
Please. You expressed that this Sankirtan, that nobody has the same feeling of unity and togetherness, but I would say in this material world, if you look at the soccer stadiums every Saturday, the people, they're all singing together and they're all enjoying together, and so this is their Sankirtan on a weekly basis. That's how they congregate. So they have their own sangha that they're doing once a week, and this is a typical Western, you know, our understanding is that there should be a 24-hour association.
24-hour soccer match.
So if there were such a thing as a 24-hour soccer match, that would be, yes.
Yes, thank you. So, simply, where does that lead to? If devotee association leads to elevation, sublime consciousness. So the soccer match, Sankirtan so-called, where does that lead? People, I believe, they drink whatever they drink, or they become more dull and dull. As well. So, yes, this is so-called material cooperation, which ultimately leads to destruction. Even all this creation of the so-called civilization also, it's just at the cost of the resources of material nature, which leads to destruction, ecological, social, whatever, in any field.
In the verse, most of the time we concentrate on as they surrender, but I was wondering if we could take a minute to review the part where it says, everyone follows my path in all respects. So how's everyone following Krishna's path in all respects?
Yeah, sometimes in the public lectures in universities, I ask the audience. I was asking the audience already 20 years ago, who knows anything about karma, about reincarnation? So maybe one, two hands people saying, oh, I heard, I read, I know. Now when I am asking students, younger generation, who knows about reincarnation, karma, maybe one or two don't raise the hand. So we can see that the preaching, the culture of Krishna consciousness introduced a new ways of world point view, new ways of taking this world. So, and sometimes we ask the people in public lecture who believe in reincarnation. So it differs from audience to audience, but there are world statistics. I read somewhere in some encyclopedia, Internet Encyclopedia, it's written that 1/4 of the population of the world believes in reincarnation. And then there was written, and the rest of those who don't believe still reincarnate. So you believe or you don't, the process is there, the laws of nature are working, so everyone follows the path. You believe, you don't, you are under the influence of the laws, you are aware of the law of the nature, you are not aware. You are aware as spirit soul or you are not aware. If you are not aware that you are spirit soul, that what means? You die and that's it? They think so, but this is what is called not knowledge but ignorance. So ignorant people also, they consider knowing something. But from the transcendental point of view, this is ignorance, which leads to destruction and darkness. So the point of view of Uttamadhikari, he sees everyone serving Lord Krishna through external energy or through internal energy. So through internal energy is like a conscious living being. And the ones who serve Lord Krishna in the soccer matches, they are unconscious. You can't call them conscious. They are not, don't know what's going on. They have no concept how their body is working. Even they're completely bodily conscious, but they are not conscious. They are bodily, because they don't know how the body works. You go to the doctor, and what he will tell you about Jataragni in your stomach, what he will tell you about prana, about life years in your body, it's too subtle for them. They are mechanics, just bolts and gears. So you are conscious or you are not. Everyone is under the influence of time factor, at least. So everyone is follows against his will or consciousness. Yes? Some ladies, please.
I was wondering, when you were speaking about how in the former Soviet Union, the government officials would come in and take people's pictures down of God or Krishna. It just seems to me so, what is that, like demoniac mentality, you know, to just be so against someone worshiping in any way that they would like, or, you know, it's just seems so, is that demoniac or is that ignorance? You know, the need to go into someone's home and take down their picture, like what, it just seems so extreme and controlling. Is that a demoniac mentality?
Actually, it was much worse than that. My good friend, the good friend of mine, a Vaishnava devotee, he was almost put into court because of vegetarianism. Even not because of God faith. No. To be vegetarian, Soviet time, it was illegal, unlaw. And it was written, harming his health. You didn't have a right to harm your health through vegetarianism. So it was ignorance, sure. It was deep ignorance. But as was during the times of Lord Krishna and nowadays, and Srila Prabhupada says that it's not that everyone is demon. The real demon is a rare person. And maybe they are on the top, or maybe they are not even on the top. They are hiding behind and putting someone on the top, just a showcase. So the real demon, you don't really find him so easily. But most of the people are cheated, are innocent and cheated. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about the weakness of the heart, that they don't have strength to counteract the Maya's influence and like that. So the devotees are the ones who inspire by their presence. They inspire people. Look. Become conscious. Look. There is a soul in your heart. Be conscious of that. Live according to the demands of the heart. Because that's why now preaching is so successful. Of course, when you preach, when you go to people, because the demand for that is so big. People can satisfy their material needs with no problem nowadays in the so-called civilized world, Western world, Europe or America, wherever. Yeah? Any material bodily need you can satisfy. Even though not having money, you go and get a credit. Take a credit and you have it. But there is a vacuum of in the heart. Still there is no pleasure. Still there is no satisfaction. And people try harder. Okay, this drug, this marijuana drug didn't give me satisfaction anymore. Okay, let's go for the heavier one. For the heavier one. Still, it's not the way. You degrade. So back to your question. Secret services were doing their dirty job, but comparing to the world nowadays, they can't do that anymore. So we see that actually book distribution, Srila Prabhupada's it's maybe half of a billion of books of Prabhupada has been distributed throughout the world, if not more. So it has an impact. It has an impact. And we are lucky living through such interesting times. Huh? The prediction of golden age. Huh? We're seeing that. And this community is one of the proofs. So many communities are coming up in Russia, in former Soviet Union countries. Even in Lithuania, I'm from Lithuania, it's 3 million population country. We have 3 temples, we have 3 restaurants, we have 5 farm communities there. So it's people are picking up. They see that as a real alternative for the dull materialistic life. Because Krishna reciprocates the way through kirtan. Philosophy, whomever has whatever nature, some is more knowledge inclined, some is more into health inclined, some is more into arts. Krishna consciousness just gives everything top. Yes.
I just want to add a little bit to that question.
Please.
You know, the main reason why they did it during that time, because they don't want anybody to disturb their Sankirtana mood, spirit. Because the communist movement is very strong and they was afraid that somebody would
interfere
in their spirit, Sankirtana spirit, communist spirit. That's why they was very tough in that. They don't want to disturb anybody.
So that's why a new generation is now pointed towards Krishna. And they... You may remember that a few years ago there was a court case against Bhagavad Gita in Russia. You heard about it. Where is common sense? It's just madness. If you think like it's madness. Someone puts Bhagavad Gita, eternal scripture, to court. The popularity of Bhagavad Gita in India just shooted the sky. People were buying, devotees in India were doing fantastic Sankirtan. People were buying Gita like wholesale. Oh, this is the book they want to read. In Russia also, people, even those who didn't had Gita, who don't believe in God, oh, this is the book they want to forbid. Oh, that's interesting. What's that? What's that they want to forbid? To ban? So, but it gives pain to the heart of a Vaishnava. Huh? When at home your Krishna's picture is torn down And now it gets painful to Vaishnava devotees.
But we see
that Pandavas went through what? Woo! Woo! Even Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was admitting, oh, better don't preach about the Pandava way of devotional service. Nobody would like to join. To go through what they went through, who would want? Oh, I don't want to join ISKCON. Yeah? But because Lord Krishna reciprocates so nicely, so sweetly in the heart of a Vaishnava, oh, I don't mind any problem in my life. Queen Kunti, fantastic prayers. Huh? She don't mind any tests in her life. Rather, she prays, Krishna, give us more problem. That brings my mind into such intense meditation on your lotus feet. Huh? And we know that everything is just fine. We get what? Too relaxed. Yeah? But when things pressure you, like in Russia, they just recently been kicked out from the previous temple. And that temple was, you would not like to know what it was. It was a parking lot between hotel and supermarket. On that parking lot, they put a huge tent, yeah? And even in winter, the Sunday programs will be in this tent. And winter in Moscow, in Russia, means minus 20, minus 30. What is in Fahrenheit? No. It's like minus. Freezing minus. Still, hundreds and hundreds of people sit in that huge soccer field tent and chant Hare Krishna. So that was the temple. Anyway, we can speak. And tomorrow, I think, we have another Sunday program class in which you can come with some questions. Thank you so much. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.